Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What's up this week?
Hello, Groom Pod puppies, and welcome to episode 253 of the Groom Pod, recorded on May 12th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support through Patreon and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, and the Absorber Towel, and now Cherry Brook. This week on the Groom Pod, we're talking upcharges. We're going to have the mask battle of the century, paper versus cloth. And I just want to remind you guys that the Absorber people have given us 10% off if it's your first time shopping from them at their website. So if it is, put in the Groom Pod at the coupon and you'll get 10% off. And I want to tell you about this fantastic new sponsor, and that is the Absorber Towel. The Absorber Towel from DogLoversTowel.com. It is changing my world. The Absorber Towel really helps me cut down on drying time. It has an interesting feel. It feels kind of like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser flattened out into a sheet, and it's really quite durable. It is saving me laundry costs. It's saving me space in my mobile, and it's really quite a fascinating little tool. I'm keeping it in a container with vinegar inside, and it is so far working really well. I rotate them, but you know what? You can wash them in the laundry. You can leave them out to dry. If they dry out, you just rehydrate them. The ones that are cut in half, I can wring them with my hands without any pain at all. And I was really worried about that. So if you guys are interested in learning more about the Dog Lovers Towel, the Absorber Towel, you go to DogLoversTowel.com and let them know that the Groom Pod sent you. Another week has gone by. Are you able to groom yet?
Well, I think so. So here's the deal, you know, and I'm sure a lot of groomers will relate to this. They never mention grooming establishments. You know, when they set the rules and they set the limits and they say who's closed and who's open, they say hair salons, but they don't say pet grooming service. You and I, and everybody that's listening, knows there's a huge difference between a person standing behind a person doing their hair and a person working on somebody's dog after they leave the premises. You know, it's so it's very, very different. However, I assumed, you know, like you can call your city government and get some clerk to make a decision. That's what they'll do. They'll either make a decision or ask their supervisor, hey, what about pet grooming? They won't give it any thought. Somebody will make a random decision. Oh man, that's hands-on, never mind. So I just assumed that since they were opening barbershops and hair salons, that I was fine. So I've put my open sign out.
I'm so freaking jealous. See, here in Washington State, we are so pet-centric that they definitely included us, even though they are including us in with a hairstylist. They still listed specifically pet groomers and dog walkers and dog daycare. Everybody's been listed in Washington State. So there's no ifs, ands, or buts. We are still not allowed to groom, except for they've opened up 7 counties. Those are counties where nobody lives. I mean, very rural and didn't have any virus counts per se. Those guys are allowed to open. There, it hasn't been discussed about pet grooming or not, but they've just said those counties can move to phase 2. And in our state, phase 2, we're included in that. So I have hope for the end of June, but I'm still sitting here twiddling my thumbs, basically. I've done a few sneaky grooms out there where I thought it was medical necessity and nails curling under, just for people I know really well. It's so stupid, though. Anyway, I know I can groom safely, and I'm just champing at the bit to go. That's where I'm sitting.
You know the statement, necessity begets invention or whatever it is, you know.
Yes, yeah.
I've been grooming without a bather, without Yvonne, which is ever so much harder than I remember. Let's face it, I'm elderly. So, you know, I had these, I have these dogs kind of scattered in, and I had, two, what are they called? Beaver Terriers. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, they're little black and white Yorkie-looking
yeah,
things.
Yeah, little Yorkie-looking. They look sort of, well, they don't exactly look York. They don't, you don't really see the Yorkie so much as you see the Maltese, and they're black and white, and but they are kind of, they are in that family, and they're adorable. They're black and white. I love, there's something about black and white, I'm very drawn to that. I'm very drawn to any black and white. I like black and white clothes. I like black and white decor. I like black and white dogs, horses, cows, you know.
I like contrast. I'm definitely into contrast.
I just love that contrast. That's it. You nailed it. So anyway, I had the two Beaver Terriers in, and they hadn't been done for a while. People who have postponed are now desperate to get in, you know. And I underestimated the time it was going to take me to do a Bichon named Curly. I love Curly, and you know what? This woman, she kind of travels between California and Tucson, Southern California and Tucson. Her family is in California, but her peer group and her studies and everything are here in Tucson. And she made a trip here specifically to get Curly groomed by me.
Aww.
Because I make him look so freaking cute. I really like her. She's young and alive and, you know.
I get it.
It's fun to hang out with youth sometimes. And sure. So I really like her. And, you know, I just adore Bichons. Well, I forget that Curly is horrible to groom. Yeah. He's not Bichon-like. He even is, I mean, there's very few Bichons. They'll struggle, but they hardly ever nip. And Curly is an exception to that. He's bitey.
Crazy.
Yeah, he's bitey, and he's one of these major strugglers, climb up the groom pole. You know, I'm climbing up this pole and getting out of here. Sure you are. And it took me forever to do him, and it set me way back. So I had promised the Beavers out at 1:30, and I texted, and I say, I think we'll need to make it 2:30. And then I get, I'm like around 2 o'clock, and I said, oh, shoot, I'm not getting it done. It's not going to be done. Better make it. Please, I need to adjust that once more to 3:30. And at 3:10, I took the second one out of the tub. 3:10, I took him out of the tub. I had 20 minutes to dry the dog and give him the haircut. So, you know what I did? I was so stressing. I blew the excess moisture off, and I took him damp dry to my table, and I dried with my human hair dryer and cut his hair at the same time.
Oh, how interesting.
I mean, I just had to. I did not have time to sit there and fluff dry that dog and then do a haircut.
So what did Curly think of that process?
Curly was already done. This wasn't Curly. This was the Curly set me back. Curly was my first dog, and I took way too much time on Curly. And, of course, she just loved it, and he looked adorable and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then everything else, the other three dogs I had scheduled for the day were all behind. And the two Beaver Terriers I did last, and they were way behind. So there I was, and in 20 minutes, I dried and using my silver bullet wall figura, I call my wall figura, my silver bullet, and I got real annoyed on the TV. Some guy has a goddamn hose that he's marketing as a silver bullet, and I said, that's my name, damn it. Name a freaking hose when I've got this beautiful silver bullet clipper.
Yes.
I have to name my tools things like that because Yvonne, if I told Yvonne, get me the wall figura clipper, she'd be lost. I have to name it something like the color is good, silver is good, bullet is just, she knows exactly what the silver bullet is.
Yeah. That's very helpful.
It's interesting to know. You know, you have to adjust to your employees. You have to know what they digest and what they don't.
I can relate because, you know, when you were doing that video of the Westie,
uh-huh.
And I was muted and Mary was trying to tell you how to make it work, and I knew what would instantly make you do the right thing, and I had no microphone and I was like going crazy on the other side. So I get it.
Yeah.
When you know somebody really well, you know how they learn.
Yeah, you know how they learn, you know how they react, you know what kind of verbiage works for them. So I had the two beavers and they were in the takeout crate and they didn't look a whole lot different. The one that I took my time on and the one that I rushed through, and I had left more hair. She often would have me take them down with a 7-blade in the summertime. And, you know, I just hate doing that. They're so cute. They're so cute. I took them down with I think I mostly used the blue comb. Is that a 2?
Yeah, that's the one I use that comb.
Yeah, that's a very common. And what happened was she loved the grooming. She loved the grooming, and she booked sooner so that she could keep
Excellent.
Them at that length. And I didn't even imagine that that could happen, and I especially didn't imagine that that could happen when I did this real rush job. But, you know, necessity begets invention, and I just invented a whole new way to finish a dog in a hurry. I hope I don't have to use it too often because it made my heart beat too fast, a little too
so
fast.
So I've occasionally cheated with my straight-haired drop coat dogs,
yeah,
with leaving them wet and straightening the lines out wet and then drying them. And it seems to work okay because I have a difficult time with getting a straight line anyway, and it actually made it a little easier for me to visualize a straight line when all the hair stuck together like that.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem to look any different afterwards.
Well,
but it's not my common way to do stuff.
Hairdressers cut hair wet. You know,
that was what gave me the idea.
There's no reason we can't adopt a few hairdressing techniques. And in fact, I do. I wish I could even do more layer cutting, but I like it. It's a really good technique to have. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. The other good news is that I had a COVID-19 test yesterday.
Yeah, how did you get that? Did your physician order it?
No. Walgreens. I'm a regular Walgreens customer, and I have one of those in-house accounts, so I get points off, and I get their advertisements and everything. Well, it came across my email that they had this drive-through testing going in only a few states and only a few locations, but they had a Tucson location, and I had to fill out an application that asked me, you know, basically, I was a shoo-in to get an approved appointment, and because I'm 80, asthmatic, obese, and hypertensive, I am like super high risk, and so they just like, boom, I get to pick my appointment day and time. They gave me alternatives. What do you want here? I said, okay, how about Monday, 11:30? And then I went far, far, far east, way, way, way out in the tule bushes, and they had an old shut-down Walgreens store. I had a terrible time finding it, and a little drive-through thing, and I think the whole inside of the Walgreens, I think they were processing in there because I had my test at 11:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. the same day. I got an email with my results.
Wow, that's amazing because we're nothing like that here. We don't have any kind of access to testing here like that.
And, you know, I didn't have to go through a doctor thing, although he would have, you know, if I'd asked him to, he would have. I mean, and I administered it to myself. So I didn't have some rude person screwing this swab up into my eyeball through my nose. They stood way back, like 12 feet back. I mostly had the window rolled up, except just to receive the instructions, which they also had written out. But they showed me how far they wanted me to put it up my nose. And then you turned it around for 15 seconds, and they stood there with their fingers going.
Yeah.
And you did both sides, and then you put the swab back into the paper and put it in the tray, and they wheeled it away. And
cool. So
it wasn't as intrusive as some people. I mean, Yvonne told me hers hurt like hell. It was uncomfortable, and it made my eyes tear, but I wasn't crying from the pain. It was just an automatic response. And, you know, it was kind of burny and uncomfortable, but it wasn't screaming pain by any shot.
Well, I had an endoscope shoved up my nose and down into my throat.
Ugh!
And I was completely awake and unnumbed for the whole entire experience as they fed it up through my nose and down my throat.
Ugh.
So, big deal, you got your nose poked.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, could be worse.
I survived.
Could be
the
worse.
The second time, they numbed me up, which was a little better. It's a weird thing. And an endoscope tube, you know, it's about the same size as a swab. As they pass it down and you feel
little
it go down.
Anyway. Anyway, medical procedures we have endured.
Was it good to get back to work?
Oh, yeah. I just feel good about not having to explain and all of that. You know, I'm happy. I'm a happy camper.
Yeah.
Yvonne is working one day a week now, and I'm so grateful. And then I also, to keep her somewhat employed, have her come in on Tuesday morning and clean for me. So after I somehow stand up at the tub and dry the dogs and then do the scissoring and the finishing and getting them all in and out and go back and forth to the door handle to sanitize stuff, I am just physically played out at the end of the day. And the vacuuming and cleaning are just one more thing that I just can't do. I can hardly hobble to the car.
I've got two exciting things.
What's that?
Kind of. Well, first I got a new microphone. Hopefully I'll sound better, even though it did seem like it was going to be slightly better. The mute does work on it. I tested that out, so that's pretty cool. Secondly, in preparation to get out there and going to work, I got a new special cup.
Oh, well, good for you. Your new Pepsi cup, huh?
It's more like a bigger, I mean, it's 24 instead of 22. I hoped I could get the whole Pepsi in there and the ice, but I can't quite get the whole Pepsi in there. But they don't make the style of my old one. So I'm having to adjust to a new cup, but I'm breaking it in before I get to work so that I'm good and familiar with it. It's quite full right now. And I got together with some of the more prominent groomers in Washington State yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're starting another groomers association.
Oh, you're going to start up again, huh?
Well, we can't get the government to pay enough attention to us. And we realized that if we at least had a unified voice, that we might be able to get the protocols into the governor's office before they give us protocols that we don't want.
I think you need that. You need that so that some bureaucrat doesn't judge dog grooming based on absolutely no knowledge of what's involved.
We were all talking last night about how they do pair us right with hairstylists and they don't understand the difference. And it's frustrating because we have a great set of protocols that we stole from the California groomers. So, well, actually, they gave it to us and let us use it. And all I've got to do is get it into the office and they would just have to stamp them and say, okay, you guys, June 1st, you're good to go. Instead, around here, if your protocols aren't there and if they haven't made them up, even though you're told you can open with phase whatever, in our case, phase two, they're holding you back from opening because the protocols aren't there.
I know. And here's another thing, if I may interrupt.
Please do.
They don't distinguish between small and large grooming enterprises. You know, there's such a huge difference between what you do and what I do and what I do and what some place with four groomers does, you know.
And it's all written out in the protocols and explained and detailed. They wouldn't have to do any work. And yet I cannot get anyone at the governor's office to answer the phone. I cannot find a way to attach them to a letter other than maybe at this point I just need to physically mail them to someone, but I can't even find out who to mail them to.
Who? Yeah, I know. So, it's hard to know who in the government is going to be, you know, who's going to pay attention. I had a thought, and I know that people are going to think that I'm really crazy, but something I think I want to do when things calm down and we have a somewhat more controlled situation, I want to offer extremely low cost 1 day a month grooming for homeless dogs. I want to do something for the homeless population. And I know that homeless people that have a dog, they care just as much about their dog as I do about my dog. And, you know, I mean, they dote over their little or large animal, and they don't have access to grooming or, you know, like even hosing off those things. And, you know, you see some of those dogs that need a clip down so desperately bad. And I would like to marshal my community to, so that I'm not just the only one, but to get a group of groomers who can rotate and alternate. Maybe someone can offer some transportation and just be able to, not free, because something free isn't valued, but like $5, you know, $5. What do you think? You think that's totally absurd? You're making faces.
I have very strong opinions about this, having been homeless. It's a difficult thing for me, number one. Number two, having lived in and among that population, I would be concerned for your safety. That's my only issue. I mean, I love that you want to help them, but they are drug users and loose cannons and unpredictable and easy to take advantage of someone like you. And I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with someone coming in and strong-arming you and taking your cash, which is what would happen. Or not finding any cash and taking a tire iron to you. I want to keep you here as long as I possibly can. And in doing so, I would prefer you target a little more exclusive clientele where I can feel like I can rest at night without worrying about that 1 day a month that you're going to be out there. I get it, but maybe leave that to younger people who have multiple people in a salon. I don't think you're set up for it. That's all
I'm
saying. Well,
I'm not saying that I would do it by myself here. No, I think it needs to be a group effort. I don't think it should just be two old women.
Okay, well, more power to you.
But I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. I hear you.
Too unpredictable a population. I'm not comfortable with it. I just feel like you're too vulnerable for that. Anyway, I digress. I tweaked my arm, my shoulder, as every groomer does.
Oh, yeah.
But I bought some tape.
KT tape.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
It's like magic.
I know. There's a reason the athletes use that stuff. Yeah.
Yes. I just wanted to encourage people, if you're having a creepy shoulder or a bum ankle or knee, or get to a physical therapist and have them show you how to tape it.
Actually, you can find how to tape a this or that on YouTube.
Well, that's what I did.
Yeah.
One of my minors in college was athletic training because I was so injured from gymnastics. I had to tape everything, and I hated waiting for the trainer. Because you had to sit and wait for the trainer. Everybody had some body part taped at that point. We were in college, you know, we're gymnasts in college, and everything was broken or damaged at one point in time. I went on Amazon, I bought the tape, I went on YouTube, I looked up shoulder taping, and I realize now that I will be able to rebuild the strength in my shoulder with it in the right spot.
Yeah, so. Good. I'm happy for you.
So I don't remember if I mentioned that we got a donation from Jackie Basker. And if I did mention it, then she's getting mentioned twice.
Thank you, Jackie.
Okay, let's take a quick break here from Best Shot, and then we're going to be back with a discussion, a lively discussion about upcharges. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
I thought that it would be fun to talk about ways to bump up your invoice, if you will. If you were in a different kind of industry, that's what they call it. But things you can add to your grooming that will add dollars to the total. So I'm not a huge fan of this. It's never kind of been my thing. The one thing I will do is a hydro massage with my HydroSurge is I'll give a dog extra time in a certain area, and for that I'll charge a little bit. But I always feel kind of gritty about adding extra charges for, well, basically for the benefit of pumping up the end result. And I know there's benefit in it, but how do you feel about the whole upcharge thing?
I also am ambivalent about that because one of the things that has made me so angry at the veterinarians is that they've gone from a kind of general charging to a breaking everything down into the pettiest minutiae and adding it all up. You know, like you go in just for a shot or something and you got a list of 10 items, each of which adds to the basic visit, and we never used to have to pay that way, and they did that to make it more profitable for the veterinarians. You know, well, good. I understand they need to make a living. I have a basic resistance to that, and yet I acknowledge that it is a way to improve your income. And what I've tried doing spa, upcharge spa thing. Nobody chooses them. You know, and the thing of it is, in order for it to work, you need to believe in it, and you need to have someone who takes the dogs in that believes in it and will sell it.
Yeah, that's part of my flaw right there.
Yeah, that's part of my flaw, too, is that Yvonne takes a lot of the dogs in, and she's not a salesperson. She won't ask, do you want a paw treatment?
Yeah.
And she gives away spa treatments all the time because she loves the bath bomb thing. You know, even that takes an extra 5 minutes or 10
yes,
minutes
does.
If you're really doing it thoroughly and running that spa water through the coat over and over. So anything that's worth extra time really is worth extra money. And that would include things like medicated shampoos. But I've never, every now and then I will, if the dog is difficult, I'm a little bit more at ease with asking for more money. But if I use a better or a higher end conditioner, I never say, hey, I used the expensive shit today. I want 10 more dollars, you know?
Right. I get it. Well, I wonder if this comes from our comparison to the hairdresser industry again. You know, they don't do a lot of extra add. Well, How do I know? I've never been into a real
hairdresser. Yeah, some of them do. Some of them do a lot of add-on conditioning treatments. You want a treatment?
Mine is cut and color for X amount of dollars, and then she does other stuff, and it's not, I mean, it's still X amount of dollars. But I get that the person here who absolutely hates to take new clients anyway, and I'm so grateful that I'm not right now taking any new clients, for me to be able to increase my income, I've got to raise their prices. And I do raise their prices every year, but sometimes you need a little hit in the middle of the year or in a particular month or something where perhaps a little upselling might do you some good in the wallet area, no matter how difficult it is.
And I want to make this point. We're in a new age. We didn't ask for it. We didn't deserve
no,
it.
We didn't.
You know, but we are in a new age. And for many grooming shops, adhering to the distancing recommendations, the protocols, the recommendations, and all of that means either not having as many grooming stations, not having as many dogs in and out, less of an assembly line. I mean, I've seen groomers in larger shops fanny to fanny.
For sure. I was in a shop like that.
Theoretically, we can't do that anymore, ever.
Right.
It's a new age. So this is a perfect time to rediscover your charges. Either raising overall general prices if upcharging is difficult for you, or now start to upcharge for that extra conditioning treatment, bath bomb spa treatment, the medicated bath, this and that.
So what I did in preparation for this episode was I went and Googled grooming menus. And I looked at tons of different menus. There are some really adorable menus. I've got to say, though, people, friends, groomers, pals, you guys, please spell check your menus. Because I found spelling errors on people's menus like crazy. Just have somebody else check it. It doesn't matter who. You know, more eyes on it after you've been looking at something, especially if you're designing graphics and doing a lot of work, you can just see right past it. Oh, it was just shocking.
I agree. And it demeans your image. It just does.
Yes.
Because although less so in today's Twitter age, you know.
Isn't that the truth?
More grammatic. You know, mistakes, spelling errors and mistakes and made up words and all of that is, it used to, God, my father would get all over us if we pronounced things wrong, if we spelled things wrong, if we, you know,
yeah.
He was a word police.
Yes, and I live with a wordsmith who uses very creative language most of the time, and he tries to encourage me to use different words as well. So I do try to do that. So anyway, I looked at a ton of menus. You guys, great menus out there, really interesting stuff. Some too wordy, some not wordy enough. It was the variety. It was really fun. If you're ever bored, just go on. You know what else I found? I found on Pinterest a groomer drinking game that popped up in my pictures.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Yeah, it looked interesting. It made me want to drink again. Not really, but it looked like fun. Anyway, so I went through and I just pulled out everything I could think of that was an extra charge on all of these menus. So there's some weird stuff in here, but what the heck? It's morning. We're going to discuss it anyway, so let's go. I started with like the basic grooming procedures that we see pop up all the time. How do you feel about toothbrushing?
I've done teeth brushing. Has to be more than one tooth, girlfriend, or it's not worth an upcharge.
Okay, good point. Teeth brushing.
You
could do it per tooth. I just want these two done. Okay.
I did teeth brushing / breath freshening.
Yeah, got that one too.
Just so that they know that I'm not doing teeth cleaning. I tried to do teeth cleaning, but I got busted by the State Veterinary Association. So anyway, that's a long story, but You know, I used to charge $5 for that, and I had a lot of people that wanted me to do it every time. And it was actually me that kind of phased it out because I realized that I wasn't doing a really great job of brushing the teeth. I was just splashing some product in their mouth and moving it around with a toothbrush. I had 100 toothbrushes there and all that kind of stuff. That's one that you can do, and other groomers are going to think that it's so fake.
Well, that's one of the things that, having worked at the vet hospital, I know that brushing tartar on top of your teeth, that really doesn't do a lot. You can only do so much with tartar-filled, bacteria-filled mouths. You can't really make them smell better when they go home. Certainly, it helps when you're grooming them if you can spray some of that minty, fresh spray, and then they're breathing on you for the next few minutes. But how does that benefit the owner down the road? Toothbrushing and mouth freshening, neither one of those are things that I generally will do as an add-on or think are beneficial. So I kind of do fall in that group where I'm a little judgy about that one. What about charging extra for nail grinding or nail filing? I use my Dremel primarily for nail trim. So I'm just charging a fee for the nail trim. I'm not adding on extra because I'm using a Dremel.
Yeah, I don't either. Nail work has become one of the most difficult things for me to endure as a senior groomer with trigger finger. So I do more clipping, but for elderly people or people with children, I will definitely Dremel. Or if I'm asked to, I'll definitely do that. And I don't charge more for doing that, although I do agree that it takes more time.
Yep. How about poodle feet? There's another spot.
Well, I have not charged more for poodle feet, but I totally believe that you are justified in doing that. And, you know, like, it needs to be worked into your poodle prices.
That's what I think.
It's one reason why your poodles have to cost more than your terrier or your Shih Tzu, you know, because you are doing those poodle feet. It's worth at least $5 or $10. It's another thing that is stressful on your hands. And then if you do it on a dog that's not a poodle, you're going to want to upcharge. So I would say include it in your poodle prices. What does this grooming include? Shave feet.
Maybe if you've got a dog that normally doesn't have poodle feet, then they decide they want poodle feet. Bang, tack on a little extra for poodle feet for that day. But otherwise, put it in the cost of the grooming.
Yeah. And you know what? An awful lot of groomers don't do poodle feet.
That's me. I don't even do poodles. Just those doodle things. And I'll do it in anything mixed with a poodle, pretty much.
I love poodles. I've had a journey with poodles. Because when I started to groom, I really thought that poodles were like sissy dogs. They were just like wacko, spoiled, sissy dogs. And, you know, I've learned that they're really very bright and very personable and very good companions. And sometimes they're very good about their grooming. And I have gradually just come to love poodles. I would own one. I would want it to have poodle feet.
I love their personality and I love their look. But they are challenging for me to groom, and I can make the same amount of money doing two Shih Tzus that will take me less time. So, but I love their personalities, especially the standards. Oh, my goodness. I've done a handful of them in my client base before, but just no more. No more. Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Yeah, okay, so along the lines of veterinary type procedures, I've got two for you. One of them is anal gland expression, and it's true that I think of it kind of as the outside of the dog being a place that a groomer can check, but inside the dog, that's for the vet's office. That's where I draw the line generally, although I am a vet tech and I can do them inside. And if requested by my doctor friends, any of the three that I work with, if they ask me to do them, I'll do them. And then I will absolutely charge extra for them. That and ear hair pulling. If they want their ear hair pulled and vet requested ear hair pulling or something, tack on some extra money for that. Make it a little painful for the owner because, you know, we're not a fan of that anymore.
Right. I'm not a fan of either one of those procedures, and I just pretty much resist it.
How about flea treatment? I kind of think of that as regular grooming.
Oh, I kind of think of that as extra. Oh, man, that's really extra, especially if they have fleas. It is really, really extra.
Well, they're so common here.
$10 flea treatment.
$10?
Yeah, ticks, same thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, do you charge when you pull a tick?
No, I don't charge by the tick, and I don't charge to pull 2 to 4 ticks. But if we get over the, you know, like... 10, 25, 50. You know, I've had dogs in here. We used to have enormous tick problems in Tucson when I started out grooming before the products of today. And I have had dogs with 100 ticks in an ear.
Ew.
Tick world.
That's icky.
I know, it's icky. But
I use Capstar, so I charge for Capstar. If they want me to apply their flea product, I will charge $5 to apply their free product if they want me to do that. So those are a couple of charges I can definitely get behind. How about extra handling or overweight or special needs, that kind of stuff? Do you tack extra for that? Or do you, like me, roll that into the grooming price from the beginning?
I can go either way on that. If I have an especially difficult day with the dog, I'll charge a little bit more. I mean, and I'll just say we had an especially difficult day today. I'm going to ask for $75. I'm getting less fearful of just asking for what I need. You know, I sit here and I think I need more. Well, I would think that in the past, I would think that I need more, and I would go home thinking I need more. If it pops into my mind while I'm working on a dog, then I just tell them, you know what? I really have to get more money for this dog. I just say that.
Well, I've got two coming up next that are favorites of mine for shops, and that is express grooming and one-on-one grooming. I find no problem charging extra for those, and I think that they are well worth the extra charge to the client. I think they get a good value with those.
I agree.
Definitely.
I agree.
How about puppy packages? Do you do anything like that? You know, lump a bunch of stuff together for the puppies?
No, No.
Okay.
No. But I do have a lesser appointment that I call a get acquainted. I will do just a quickie.
Yep. I do that.
You know, little 15-buck get acquainted thing. Bring him in. Let's get acquainted. Let's talk to him. Let's pet him. Let's put him on the table. Let's check his feet. Maybe do his nails. You know, 15, 20 bucks, get acquainted appointment. It's even in my list of services.
Let's take it up a notch into the spa area, the actually elevated, more specialized treatments. Let's start with the bath bombs that you and I both love so much. Bath bombs and the microbubble technology. We should be charging extra for that stuff.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I'm going to get on board on that because I, again, need to make more money and not do more dogs.
Yes, and I was saying earlier, I don't know if I ever finished my thought because oftentimes I don't. Since I don't like to take new clients, this is a way that I can get my old clients to pay a little more and I don't have to take any new clients. That's what I was thinking. I don't know if I said that earlier or not.
I've even had that conversation with my clients.
Oh, they know I don't want new people. Yeah, good point.
I just tell them, you know, I love the way we're working here now. I love that I'm not stressed out all day. We're keeping the dogs calm, except when they're not. I just can't see me doing more dogs. I love the specialized service and the attention that I'm giving your pet. And I hope you understand this is what I need to make for that.
I had a lady text me a message. She's like, I'm at my hairdresser's and she's got a sign up and she says she's got two Yorkies and a Shih Tzu that need grooming. And I was like, tell her good luck. I'm interested. I'm so, she goes, oh, aren't you working? And I said, no, none of us are working. Not only are we not working, I'm not going to be taking new people for who knows how long. Just trying to work through the people that I've got. So definitely not taking somebody's hairdresser's dogs. I appreciated her thinking of me, though. I thought it was cute. All right, what about facials? I don't do specifically a facial that includes massage on every dog, but if I'm going to spend that kind of time and make my hands hurt like that, maybe I would charge extra. Do you do that?
You mean like the blueberry facial?
Yes, like the blueberry facial.
Well,
it's a spa service.
It's a spa service.
I'm going to wash the face anyway. I feel kind of like that's a cheat, but, you know, I get the marketing behind it, and I know that Donna and Lisa are previous sponsors, they really made that work for them. That was a good selling point for them. So if that's something you're interested in, more power to ya. Me, I'm going to use it on every dog for my own pleasure.
I pretty much include it in, and I understand the marketing of it as a special thing. And I think that there's some businesses with some clientele that could do really well with that. But my customers are coming to me mainly for my patience and my styling skills and not for the foo-foo add-ons. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, when
absolutely,
the spa treatments and the bath bomb, that goes under skincare. That will fit in with the type of service that I've got. But if I had a larger clientele and a more kind of upscale sort of a image, I could get away with charging for the blueberry facial. I've had the picture on the window and all of that, but nobody asked for it.
So I've got a couple other ones that are really towards the high-end thing. That is like the paw treatment or the mud bath or massage, if you're allowed to. See, in Washington State, we're not allowed to do massage. You actually have to be a licensed human massage therapist to do animal massage. You have to go through the entire course and pay thousands of dollars to get certified as a human massage therapist to be allowed to advertise as a pet massage therapist. So we're completely out of that. You got to call it something else like physical manipulation or the water massage like I do.
In Arizona, massage is you have to be with a veterinarian. Be a vet or be with a vet.
Working in a vet. Interesting. But sometimes paw treatments and mud baths and stuff are really beneficial for our clients, but they do take extra time.
Right. There again, if you're doing something with extra time, you need to get extra money.
And you can bundle that stuff together. Like you could do a whole spa package where you did a mud treatment and a paw soak and a bubble bath. And what's a lavender wrap? One of our people on our discussion group was asking about lavender wraps. Do you know what she means by that?
No. I mean, I could make an educated guess, but why are we wrapping?
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
But speaking of aromatherapy.
Yes.
I have learned that the cloth face mask, I can put a folded paper towel inside my cloth face mask and put aromatherapy for me in there.
I've been doing that on my headband that I pull over my face. I put a drop of aromatherapy in there.
It can be really nice, and it really does tend to work. Yeah, I like that.
Don't put peppermint, because that burns your eyes. I found that out. It's my favorite smell, though. That was my first grab. I grabbed that, and I put that on there, and I was like, whoa! I had to switch it around to the backside.
Yeah, there's a number of them that are, you know, that you should probably mix with jojoba oil so that you just got a 1% of peppermint oil there. Yeah, but there's another thing, aromatherapy for the dogs.
Yeah, you could bundle that in with the whole spa package.
You could bundle that in, but I, you know, like I just use it and I just mention it every now and then.
Yes.
You know, aromatherapy is just like, it's kind of just natural for me. I have these little wool balls that were left over from Christmas on a string, and I just put aromatherapy. I've got them on both sides of my table. I've got them on some of my crates. I just include that in the process, but you can make a deal out of that.
Then let's talk about some things you can add on extra at the end of the grooming. Nail polish, color. You could do soft paws. You could charge for bows and bandanas if you want to do that. Those are things that are not part of the grooming process, but you can certainly add them on to the end and put an upcharge for some of that. I personally am big at self-gratification, so if I want to do color, I'm going to do color. I probably am not going to have somebody ask me for it. I'm going to ask them if I can do color. So I don't generally get to charge for color since I'm indulging my own fantasies there. Nail polish I've given up on because I spilled it in the trailer too many times.
I lost a standard poodle customer one time because I did nail polish without asking them. And this was a standard poodle, and my assistant of the moment was a bow maker, and she made big, gorgeous bows. And they mentioned that they were having a party. So she made these gorgeous long bows for the ears. It was a black standard, and I very carefully did red nail polish, and
not a hit.
It was too much. We didn't give you permission to do that, and we think we'll just like take a look at what else is out there.
Oh, what party poopers.
Yeah, fuck you anyway.
And on that note, we're going to take a break, then we'll be back with our Battle of the Masks. So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner, but now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it, so we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always
upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful and they're trying to keep their local sources. And yeah, no, they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
We're going to have the massive battle of the masks right now. Paper or cloth? Give it to me straight.
Okay, so you know what? There's no science.
Okay.
They haven't done the studies. They haven't done the studies. And we know we're not talking about the N95 surgical, you know, respiratory masks that the hospital workers need to have for themselves. We're talking about the really little disposable paper masks or the cloth masks, of which there's more and more on the market. I love watching the marketplace grow in the face mask department. It's happening. Yes. It's happening. Nowadays, cloth masks are available again. You can get them on Amazon. I got a box from Groupon, but you can get boxes of 50. I have Yvonne using my paper mask, and said she was using a infant bib.
Yeah, right.
Oh, hello, Yvonne. So that brings me to the point. The important point on masks is that they fit, and is that they fit snug around your nose. Oh, did you see the picture on the internet of the woman who cut a hole in her mask so she could breathe?
Yeah. Yeah.
God.
I've seen quite a few very funny memes going around about people misusing their masks. Gosh.
You know, like, I please. Know. So here's my take. The paper masks are lighter. They're more breathable. But then they slip around more if you're using them for a prolonged period of time. The cloth masks are heavier. I really like putting the paper towel as an extra little barrier in there, and whether or not I put aromatherapy on it. But some of the homemade ones don't have a nose wire. You see people walking around with their face mask under their nose. You know, I see that a lot, you know. And then they tell us that if you're putting your face mask down on your neck and then up on your face again, all of that handling the face mask with your fingers is just moving contamination around.
Well, yes, that's true, but it's there to protect everybody else from your cooties, not you from your cooties. You already have
it's
your cooties.
It's sort of both. I mean, it actually, you know, but if you happen to have somebody else's cooties on your mask and you pull it down and then you touch your face, you just chingered yourself.
I'm pretty good with the hand sanitizer anytime I touch any substances. I use a headband that then pulls down over my whole throat. And that's exactly what you're talking about. And then I push it back up onto my head. That's what I do. However, I have not gotten sick yet.
Well,
I've been out there touching things.
See, I think you have antibodies.
I do think I had it in October, so we'll
yeah,
see.
Yeah, I think you have antibodies, so I'm not going to go by you. I'm not sick yet.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
That's true.
That sounds like what my friend, I'm not going to name her name. If I even say her first name, you'll be able to know exactly who it is. So my groomer friend locally, of which I only have a few, very interesting situation. She was working one day she cut down to one day a week, and she was jamming with two bathers and doing like 20 to 22 dogs a day. And then she would go home and quarantine for the rest of the week. And if she didn't get sick, she'd open up on next Wednesday. You know, so I said, okay.
Yeah. I also feel pretty strongly that all of the grocery store workers would be sick if it was really, really, really the fact that you couldn't pull your mask up and down, because half of them are wearing those kind of masks anyway.
I know that Susie will find a way to rationalize what she does no matter what. She will find...
Plus, I'm a Petri dish. I'm a Petri dish anyway. I touch everything. I am into everything.
If you want to do it, you will find a way to rationalize it. That's Susie Scott right there.
It's my skill. It's my gift.
You know, like, it's human. That's the human nature. You're so fucking human.
I know. I hate it, but I love it.
Yeah, I know. So I want to kind of draw a conclusion about the paper versus cloth. I think it's a good thing to have both of them. And frankly, when I go out and about, I like cloth. When I go shopping, I'm starting to put together outfits that, you know, see, this is Barbara. This is me.
Yes.
I'm going to, you know, like, I match my colors. I match my prints. If I got a floral print jacket, I'm going to have a floral print face mask. Da 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 da. You know, I got doggies, and I'm gonna have some more. I just love doing that. I just like incorporating it, and I run into women especially. Although there are some men that are styling with their masks. So
yes.
You know, the thing about cloth is you can style. You know, you can suit your own look. Paper is effective and lightweight and breathable, but it does tend to slide around and you find yourself adjusting it often, which is not really great. Proper way to take your mask off, Susie, is to take it by one ear and take it off and hold it with your little finger and thumb and throw it right into the washing machine or the wastebasket. Just saying!
I appreciate that.
I'm not saying that I never do it, but I'm just repeating what the experts have told me on CNN.
I groom with a mask when I'm blow drying anyway. So I just am going to add a mask in for my human interactions, you know, which are going to be 6 feet apart other than when I take the dog from them. And that's the only time I'm going to wear a mask. But here's the rub. They have now said downtown Seattle that you have to wear a mask in public.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not going to Seattle. That's my solution there.
I am going to get a mask for you that you want to wear.
Yeah, no, I love my masks. I have two great masks. They're great. I have one cloth grooming mask, and then I have my pull-over-the-head thing. And the pull-over-the-head thing is the one that I always have with me all the time. So I wash it every evening and bring it back out the next day, and off I go. And it has a little spot for the aromatherapy.
So. All right then. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
So there we go. Cloth versus paper, both. You're jealous what?
I'm jealous you get to work.
I can legally work.
Yes. Yeah. I'll get there.
It's good. Now I just have to build up my business again, and I'm not wanting to.
I think that's a common problem, actually. I think there's a lot of people out there who are having a difficult time going back.
We get away from it for a while. We realize it's just such a hard fucking job.
Yeah, it's true. It's a hard job. I got to do something, though. Otherwise, I get into trouble. We don't want Susie in trouble. That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to go out and have some fun in the garden.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah. But I'll meet you here next Sunday, and we'll record another show, and then I'll work all week to edit it so I can put it out for our Groom Pod puppies.
And I'll charge my battery on my iPad.
Excellent. Okay, thanks for being here to support our sponsors. Remember to test out the Click Through Cherry Brook link and do a little shopping over there. They've got everything from dog products to gifts for humans about dogs and grooming stuff and dog show stuff. I was perusing their sites, really quite a lot of stuff there. And oh, thanks you guys for supporting Cascade Grooming Supply. Michael's been getting all kinds of interesting orders from all over the country, and it's really great, and he really appreciates it, and we appreciate you supporting him as well. There you go. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourselves. Bye.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.